Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we recognize the words that we just sang, that there's nothing that is better than you. May that be our heart's true thoughts. May we as individuals and people recognize that there is great truth in that. Heavenly Father, help us to live our lives according to that idea, that concept, that there's nothing better than you. And if that's the case, that we would live our lives in a way to glorify you. Lord God, as we open your word this morning, I would just pray that you would speak into each one of our lives. You know, Heavenly Father, what each person in this worship center, what each person that is watching online has gone through in the last days, last weeks, or what is coming up in the days ahead. You know what's on their hearts and in their minds. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just help us all set those things aside for the next moments as we open your word and study your word together. May we be able to give you our true attention and focus. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. So we are week five of weeks of 6 weeks as we're talking about this idea of the path that our lives go in, the direction that our lives go in, and how it gets us to a destination in regards to different aspects, different moments in our lives. 29 different times in the book of Proverbs, it mentions this idea of path or paths that we are on. So we've looked at several of those over the last 5 weeks. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, Solomon is warning us about buddying up with people with questionable morals, right? He says, "My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths." It's a warning to us about the people that are part of our lives. That's the path that we don't want to go on. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9, Solomon talks about following the way of wisdom. He says, "Then you will understand what is right and what is just, every good path." Those are the paths that we want to take. The paths that are just and right and fair. A few weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, where it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will guide us to allow us to get to where he desires for us to be in our lives." In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, he adds kind of a nuance or a supplemental principle to the main idea that we've been learning about in these last 5 weeks, where he says, "Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm." So in the last weeks, we've been talking about this idea of your direction determines your destination. This morning, we're going to build off of that idea, that concept, just a little bit with a qualifier statement that we're going to add into it. I think one slight modification, and hopefully we all agree that this is an okay modification to put into this at this point in the series, is this. What gets your attention determines your direction and ultimately your destination. What gets your attention, right? We talk about how the direction that we go in life will get us to our destination. But what determines our direction is our attention. What gets your attention determines your direction and ultimately your destination. It's the idea of our focus. Your attention determines, your focus determines your direction in life. So just think about it. If you go back into the Old Testament, right, and you look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, it's the story of King David. And it goes on for about a chapter and a half. But it's the story of King David, and it's just before some wars are going to take place. And he is up on his rooftop walking around, And he's looking out over his city, and he sees this young lady that is bathing. It got his attention, right? And then as we continue to read this passage, we see that what got his attention took him to a destination. It led to an affair. What gets our attention determines our direction, which ultimately lead us to our destination. So I want us to look at what Solomon, we're going back to the book of Proverbs again this morning, what Solomon had to say about this idea that we're talking about this morning. And you'll find it in on page 452 if you're using the church Bibles, or if you're using your own Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 25. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, page 452. Proverbs chapter 4, starting verse 25, says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." So this morning I want us to kind of dig into this idea a little bit deeper about our attention, our focus, and the importance of that. Another way of saying that scripture is our destination is determined by our direction, and our direction is dictated by whatever holds our attention in life. Oftentimes our hearts determine what we give our attention to. The things that capture our attention will influence our direction. Most of us travel the interstates at some point in time throughout the course of any given month or year. And you've been on the road before where you're on a long road trip, right? And everything's going great. It's a beautiful sunny day. You're driving down the road. You're almost in a daze because it's just so mundane what you're doing. And you're relaxed, and there's nothing really particularly going through your mind at the time. You're just listening to the radio and comfortably driving down the road. And then all of a sudden you see this big billboard, right? And on the billboard it's advertising Starbucks or Cinnabon at the next exit. And all of a sudden, when you didn't feel hungry or thirsty before, you're like, I got to pull off at the next exit. Get me a Cinnabon and pay too much money for a Starbucks coffee. It grabbed my attention. And as a result of it grabbing my attention, it changed my direction. I think another way that God gets our attention is by events in our lives that he allows to take place. Sometimes they're good events, sometimes they're really tough events. But he gets our attention with them. I can remember back to, I'm dating myself here, 1994, 95, 96, that time frame in my life. And at that point in time in my life, I had this plan in mind as to what my life was going to look like moving forward. I was just graduating high school, and I was a part of a journeyman carpenter program. I was racking up all my hours that I needed in regards to this, and it was kind of my goal, right? I was well on the way to achieving my goal. And I knew that God wanted me to be serving in ministry, but I felt that I could continue down the path that I was on, the direction I was headed in, and I would still be able to volunteer time in the evenings and on weekends to be a part of ministry stuff too. And then over the course of that same time frame, God gave opportunity for me to be a part of several different youth ministries, either as youth leaders or as kind of developing and leading a couple of programs. God used those experiences in my life to grab my attention. When I saw the value of investing in the lives of others, when I saw how God actively changes people's lives, when I saw that God could use me as a part of that, it grabbed my attention. I knew that God had a different plan for me than I had been thinking. That sign, seeing people's lives changed, impacted by God, it influenced the direction that my life would go. What captures our attention influences our direction. Attention, direction, destination. That's the principle of what we're talking about in three words. As your attention goes, so goes your life. Or as Solomon said in our passage this morning, right? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your feet from evil. To this point this morning, we've been looking at the idea of things in life that grab our attention or get our attention. Some of those things can keep us on track, focused ahead towards a godly destination, and some of them can obviously pull us off track. I'd like to spend the next few minutes that we have together talking about another reality that has to tie in with all this, and that's the reality of choice. We get to choose what we will give our attention to. We get to choose. You get to choose. I get to choose what my attention is going to be given to. We can choose to give our attention. We can choose to pay attention to something. These are willful decisions that you and I get to make for ourselves in life. Though we have choice, we also, I think, need to understand that our emotions or perceived needs or perceived desires tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention, right? It's King David. It's his perceived need to be with this lady that's bathing that fuel or grab or captured his attention in that moment. Intentionality tends to fuel what you pay or give attention to. Not what grabs your attention, but what you choose to give your attention to. Probably almost every path that leads to disaster or to destruction or to hardship, there's something powerful and emotional, engaging that summoned us, that grabbed or captured our attention. Thomas Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury, put it this way, and this is back from the 1500s. What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. This is why Solomon wrote this proverb. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. It's why we have to be very careful with the choices that we make in our lives. This is why the Proverbs warn us, right? In Proverbs, just a few verses before we read this morning, in verse 23 of chapter 4, this is why the Proverbs warn us that above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life, it says. That word wellspring, it speaks of the source of life. In human beings, that source is our hearts. The heart is the center of it all. Eve and then Adam were led into sin because their hearts desired what Satan was offering. Romans 10, chapter 10 tells us that it is with the heart that we believe and are justified. It's all about the heart. The heart is so important to us. We talked about this weeks ago, and I won't quit harping on it because it's so true. Because our hearts play such a huge piece in our lives, that's why we need to check our hearts when we consider what direction different choices will lead us in. We can't forget what we looked at a few weeks back in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, when we were talking about our hearts. It said, the heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. What you give your heart's attention to, it determines your direction. I want to ask a sincere question this morning. If you're taking notes, write this question down. I think it's one that we all need to struggle with. I got two questions, actually. Well, the first one is this. What has your attention these days? Where's your heart leading you? Would be another way of phrasing it, right? What has your attention these days? Where's your heart leading you? Is it a relationship? Is it a career? Is it a house? Is it enjoyable pastimes? Is it a person who's leading you somewhere where you don't really want to go? Or maybe it's a person that's leading you towards where you do want to go. Is it a marriage? Is it your children? Is it your faith? What has your heart? Is it an achievement that you're hoping to accomplish sometime soon? What has your attention these days? Not all of these things are bad. Most of them are good. But others can set you on a path that leads to destruction. And I would even venture to go as far as to say that all of them, with the exception of faith, can lead us to a path of destruction when that is what has our focus and our attention. What captures or grabs your attention, or what you choose to pay or give your attention to, will determine your direction and ultimately your destination. Here's the second question. And maybe I'm going to say this is probably the more important question. What do you want to have your attention today? What do you want to have your attention today? If you could fix your eyes on only one thing today, moving forward, what would that one thing be? 5 weeks into this series, and I want to make a suggestion this morning. After listing off a whole lot of positive things he had going for him, the Apostle Paul said, all of that past stuff was rubbish. And then went on to describe his new approach to life in this way. And you can find this in Philippians chapter 3. Went on to describe this new approach to life this way. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing on this morning? Then he follows that up, the Apostle Paul, in the very next verse by saying, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. The author of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Some of us here today may have drifted away from the faith while we live life and do life and go through painful parts of life. We may have drifted away and we wonder, how did that even happen? Because it happened so slowly and over this long period of time. Many times I think it happens because of the principle of attention. We choose to follow our eyes or our heart. We allow something to grab our attention, and we end up following something other than God, making something else the focus of our attention other than God. Hebrews continues to teach us about this truth in chapter 12, where it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I like the word at the very beginning, third word in, right? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The word fix. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Don't let your eyes wander. That's my suggestion to us today. We can't let our heart or our attention be captured by lesser things. And it's a choice. We need to focus our attention on Jesus, on following him, getting to know him better, serving him fully, becoming like him more and more every day by making decisions in our lives that will allow that to happen. If you remember a few weeks ago in Proverbs 22:3, we read that the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Here's a danger I hope that we can see. If you pursue anything less than Jesus, if you allow anything less than Jesus to take your full attention and focus, you may end up bowing on your knees before him from a destination that you don't want to arrive at. That's why Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." He's the path to heaven, the path to fulfillment, the path to purpose, the path to where you want to ultimately be and go. John 14, chapter 6 is a verse that many of you are familiar with. Probably all of us, to some degree, are familiar with it. It is, "I am the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." Another word for way there, I'm going to suggest, is path, right? I am the way, he said. I am the path. I am the path. Follow me, follow me, follow me. Jesus said, "Walk with me and you will see the Father." Whatever you give your attention to will determine your direction. Whatever direction you are headed determines where you wind up in life. We have a choice. We can follow Jesus, and we can follow something less than him. We can let our attention be grabbed by something that feels good for the moment, or we can give our attention to the one who will direct us all the days of our lives and into eternity. Those are the choices that we have. I'm certain that part of our congregation here at home, that there are some people that have maybe never made that commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe you would like to choose to fix your eyes on him today. To say, you know what? He's going to get my attention. He's going to get my focus. I'd encourage you to simply pray and ask him into your heart and into your life. Give your life over to him. And if that's where you're at today, I would love to have a conversation with you. Email me, call me, talk to me after service if you happen to be worshiping here with us. And then there's others of us that have decided to follow Jesus. And maybe we've been following Jesus for a long time now, but we've let our attention get grabbed or captured by something or someone else. We allowed something else to become the focus besides Jesus. Today's the day to correct that. Because when we put our hope in something else, it's going to end up not good. I can think of too many pastors and too many congregations that had their hope in their pastor instead of in Jesus. And it became evident when the pastor had a sinful decision that he made in his life or her life that led to them having to leave that role of leadership or ministry in their church. I just heard of one this last week that broke my heart. Of an affair that a pastor had. And I know that it impacts people because there's relationships there and all that kind of stuff, but I think when our focus is on Jesus Christ, we can get beyond that. We can continue moving in our faith in Jesus Christ. But when our hope is in that pastor, it's earth-shattering and it can drive us away from our faith in Jesus Christ. Today is a day that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you aren't giving your full attention and focus to him, that I would encourage you to do so. Jesus is the Lord, my God. I will never, no longer allow other gods before him. That's the decision some of us need to make today. It's to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I invite you in my life. Or to say, Jesus, you've been in my life, but I haven't been giving you my full attention, my full focus. And starting today, you're the Lord my God. I'll no longer have any other gods before you. The application has really been a part of the whole message this morning. The application is saying we have a choice in so many areas of our lives. The application is saying I'm going to use God's word to filter my choices. I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to make sure that Jesus gets my attention and gets my focus. And the decisions I make in life, the choices I make in life, if they don't line up with Jesus being the focus, being the center, then they're not going to happen. That's what it means to live our lives for Christ. We've got to make sure there are choices. What gets our attention, what gets our focus, that it heads us towards a godly destination. That heads us towards something that we sense and feel that God is saying, this is where I want you. This is what I want you to be doing. And the ultimate end destination of an eternity with him. Our choices lead us in a direction. Will they lead us to where God desires for us to be? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Every Sunday, we thank you for your word. And we don't take it lightly because your word gives us such guidance. It gives us such hope. It gives us such direction in life. And when we take it in, when we use it as our guide in life, it allows us to live life to its fullest. Help us, Lord God, to make sure that the choices and decisions we make in life align us with your desire for our lives, where you desire to see us be with the life that you've given to us. Give us wisdom, Lord God. Give us people in our lives that breathe wisdom into us, people that will support us and encourage us in making godly decisions. Help us to fix our eyes on you as we live the life that you've given to us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.